brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely nation of Canada. Beautiful country, beautiful land, huge country. My goodness, this is such a big, big place. What a shift from Asia, where so many people in such a small space in Asia, or even if it's a big space, just such massive populations of people. And then you come to Canada and it's like lots and lots and lots of space, lots and lots and lots of room to move and to create and to breathe, and it's just nice. So yeah, nice to be in Canada, nice place, beautiful country, very generous and warm people, and you know, we just thank God for the chance to see this place and to be about our Father's business. And in the midst of all that goes on in the world, you know, we continue to encourage you to stay grounded and rooted in the things of God, to stay grounded and rooted in that which is true, that which is real, that which is beyond the illusion that the world continues to try to force on you and force on me and force on everybody. You know, you've got to understand that the world, it has an objective in what it does. There's a reason that it works very hard at the propaganda that it pushes forward. You know, the enemy was defeated at the cross. You know, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he defeated the enemy. I mean, that's something you have to always know. You have to always keep that in front of you, because you know, the enemy very often tries to say that he wasn't, or tries to do certain things in the aftermath of his defeat. But the reality of it is, at the cross, it was finished. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." Now, in that place, in that moment, the price was paid. The price was paid for your redemption and my redemption. The price was paid for sin. The price was paid for what it would take for our redemption. And at the same time that Jesus cried, "It is finished," you know, immediately then, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And the Holy of Holies, which was previously blocked off from those that were in the holy place and the outer court, the Holy of Holies was now opened. And people could see in. So people could see into the place of the presence of God. That there was no longer a separation between man and the presence of God. Man and relationship with the Father. The ability for us to boldly go before the throne of grace was now made at the cross. And, you know, what's happened throughout time since then, what man has tried to do is man has gone with a needle and thread, religions in particular, and gone and tried to stitch that veil back up. They've tried to stand in front of it and to try to tell you and I that it is not finished. They've tried to tell you and I that the way has not been made, and that you need this 12-step program, you need this book, you need this audio, you need this whatever to get to God. And that's not the truth. The truth is that the way was made and it's done, it's finished right now. Right now, you, wherever you are, you can boldly go before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the gate. And because he's the gate, you can go to the Father and you can connect with him right now. There is no separation. There is nothing that blocks you from him. The blood of Jesus was sufficient to pay the price for your sins, to pay the price for that which would cut you off from relationship with the Father, so that you can have a real relationship with him this day, right now. So that being the case, you know, the enemy has worked very, very hard in the post period of his defeat, because he's already been defeated. He was defeated at the cross. But in the post defeat, he's worked very hard because he's still been allowed a window of time to exist, and his kingdoms have been allowed a window of time to exist. And what he's done is he's worked very hard to try to control and affect the mind, to try to control and affect people's consciousness, to try to control and affect how people understand and what they do understand. See, the truth cuts right through. There is no blocking the truth. When the light is switched on, the darkness flees. And so what the enemy has tried to do very hard is to try to marginalize those who would walk with the truth. Has tried to keep them away, tried to keep that message out, tried to control the gateways of information. You know, when information was controlled, you know, many times, gatekeepers of information, trying to keep people from having and receiving the truth, trying to keep people caught in organizations, trying to keep people caught in man-made structures, trying to, instead of allowing people to have truth and to walk in truth, they would rather keep people in some place of religious bondage and keep people jumping around from pillar to post. You know, this... if you look through, you can travel through different countries and you can see some of the traditions that are there, and usually they're based on works, and basically, you know, this whole thing of like, yes, you're such a horrible, terrible, wretched person, and so now you've got to work it off. You've got to do all these things to get right. And you know what? In the logical minds of people, that does make sense, because, you know, they're like, well, I've done all this bad stuff, and so now I've got to get right. And so if I can't buy my way out, I'm going to have to work my way out. And they do all their penance, they do all these different things to try to make it right. But the truth is, you can never make it right, because you can never do it. You don't have enough currency. You can't make it right with an eternal perfect God, because one step short of perfection is imperfection, and imperfection cannot exist with perfection. God is perfection, so you cannot exist with Him in and of your own ability. Your best works are like filthy rags in God's sight, Scripture tells us. And that description of filthy rags, that's the same description of where we get actually. When women would go through their menstrual cycle, and the rags that they would use for that in the old times, and when they would, after those rags were soaked through, they would toss them on the side of the road, and they would, in the hot sun, be sitting there. And that is what God says, your righteous works are just like that. If you go do a study on that one, that's what you'll get. And, you know, the reality of it is that when you understand that, it's like, okay, so the best that you can do in and of your own ability, that's where you're left. And that's why, you know, you and I needed the grace of God to be applied on our behalf. That is why you and I needed the King of Kings to send His only begotten Son into the world to pay the price that you and I could not pay. That was why the blood of Jesus was necessary for our redemption, for our salvation, because without the blood of Jesus, there was no redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews chapter 9, I think it's verse 22 and 23 in that area. You know, there's without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Blood had to be shed, because the life is in the blood. And our lives were messed up, and our lives were lost, and blood had to be shed. Life had to be spent for us to be redeemed. But it couldn't just be anybody's blood. It had to be something that was sufficient to pay the price. Because God is a just God. And justice demands that the penalty fits the crime. Justice demands for a proper resolution to take place. Justice demands it. Without justice, our God is a God of justice. See, that's why when I see the things going on in the world right now, I pray that these wicked people that are doing wickedness, that perhaps God would be merciful to some of them. I know that, you know, scripturally that they play a role just like Pharaoh played a role and tried to block, you know, the children of Israel from leaving Egypt, and God showed himself strong in his opposition, and he and his household were destroyed in that process. I know that they play a role at this time, but at the same time too, when you see how they have set themselves up against the living God and position themselves against truth and against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they've sided with a defeated enemy, they've sided with the prince of the power of the air, they've sided with the darkness, they've sided with the demonic, all of which has been defeated. 2,000 years ago it was defeated. They've sided with that to their own destruction. And realizing that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for their redemption, my hope and my prayer is perhaps a handful of them may come to themselves like the prodigal son in the pig pen, kissing the pigs, and may realize where they're ending up and where they're going, and that they're damning themselves and damning their households and damning everybody around them that follows them into that dark abyss, into that demonic sludge, into a soul-consuming machine that destroys them and uses them. My hope is that God would be merciful to them. And you know what? God said he'll be merciful to whom he has mercy. So his mercy is not guaranteed. You know, he can choose. And my hope is that he would choose to like Saul, who became Paul, to redeem some of them, to bring some of them back, and perhaps that they would be witnesses unto others. Because you know what? When this life is over, it's done. And when this life is over, people choose their eternal resting place. And in that choice, in that process, in their rejection of God and their rejection of truth, they destroy themselves. You know what? There's not a single person that will be in hell that does not deserve to be there. You know, the reality is, all of us deserve that. But if it were not for the blood of Jesus, that would be our fate as well. See, that's why too, for us, you and I, we are messengers of the truth. We are messengers of the redemption. We are messengers of God's mercy. God was merciful to you and I. God was merciful in bringing us back. God was merciful in finding us. You know, I had a friend recently, we were talking, and they're talking about, you know, people finding God. But the truth of it is, God found us because we were the ones that were lost. You know, he's never been lost. You know, we were the ones that were lost, and God, as a good shepherd, found us. Some of us, he found us early. Some of us, he found us later on. Some of us, he found us right before we passed from this life into the next. But praise God that he found us. You know, God finds those that are his. But when he finds you, don't harden your heart. When he reaches out to you, don't stiffen your neck. You know, John chapter 3. says, you know, Jesus answered and said unto him, actually, let's go back to verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Tell you of heavenly things. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not world to condemn the world. All right. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing in Elion near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, and this is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word. Okay, so the words of Jesus and the words of John, both affirming the exact same truth. God sent his Son into the world to save. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Not that the world would be saved, but that the world would be saved through him. World through him. He is the gate. There you go. So you got to still go through him. You've got to still go through him. You've got to still, the way is made to the Father through the blood of Jesus. The way is made through the Father through Christ Jesus. When he said, it is finished, the gate was now open. The door was now open. The veil of the temple was now rent. The way was made through him, that the world might be saved through him. That's why we proclaim the name of Jesus. Because that name is the name above every other name. By that name, men are saved. Women are saved. You become a child of God by that name. You're redeemed by that name. By that name, you are saved. That's why if you don't know what's going on, call out to the Father, call out to Jesus, ask Jesus to save you, ask Jesus to open your eyes that you can see, ask Jesus to redeem you. Call out to Him. You know, you have not because you ask not. That's what He said. You know, a lot of people complain, but they don't ask. And a lot of people complain about things going on, but they're not the children of God. Because they're not redeemed. That the world might be saved through Him. You know, people complain. But they complain as those that are apart. Look, in order to access the blessing of God, you have to be in a spiritual place to receive the blessing of God. All right, if it's raining outside, you've got to come inside the house to get out of the rain, right? Right. If you stand outside and you're complaining about the rain, you're just going to keep getting wet. Because you're not in the right position, you're not in the right place to be out of the rain. But as soon as you come inside the house, you're out of the rain. Makes sense? Yes. So, what does it say? For the person that believeth not, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, verse 36, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There you go, you're still in the rain. If you don't believe the Son, you will not see life, and the wrath of God remains on you. If you don't believe the Son, you won't see life, and the wrath of God remains on you. That's a horrible place to be. That's a horrible place to be where you will not see the Son, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So you will never see the way, you will never see the truth, and you will never see life. And you remain in a place where you're just under the wrath of God. When you don't have to be. Oh my gosh, see, that's the thing. You don't have to be. You do not have to be under the wrath of God. People in this world do not have to be under the wrath of God. But they choose it. You know why they choose it? Because they choose to reject Jesus. They choose to reject the truth. They choose to not be redeemed, though redemption is right there. And it is a free gift that He offers. It is the gift of eternal life. Why? Because you can't buy it. And you can't earn it. You have to just receive it. You have to receive it with humility. You have to receive it with a realization of your limitation. You have to receive it with a grateful heart. And you have to receive it submitting to the Lordship of Christ Jesus. Because then it's not about you anymore. It's about Him. He is the Lord, and you come under His covering. The covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come under the Lordship of the King of Kings. And because of that, you're now in a spiritual position where the blessing of God can be upon your life. You go from wrath and judgment to the blessing and the love of God upon you. You go from a place of dishonor to a place of honor. You go from a place of being outside the will of God, and being separate and being detached like a branch that's broken off and dying and withered and going to be picked up and be burned, to a branch that is engrafted into the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which then grows and fills and is fruitful and multiplies. And the very fruit and presence of God lives in your life. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thoughtfulness, gentleness, and self-control grow out of your life. You go from that place of indecision to direction and understanding. You go from that place of not knowing to a place of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, which are gifts of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. You go from a place of being an alien and an outsider to being a son of the King of Kings, where you can go before your Father and you can ask. And you ask and He hears and you can receive, that your joy may be full. And we don't ask to fulfill our lusts. No, what we ask is we ask in accordance with His will, because now we're under His protection. Now His will is our greatest desire. Now His will is our joy. You know, the will of God becomes the joy of your life. The will of God, the fulfilling of the will of God, becomes the place of peace for you. the will of God, the fulfilling of the will of God becomes the consuming pursuit of your life, and there's nothing that you want more than the will of God. And you know what? The friends and the people that God brings around you, they're also people like that. God brings people close to you that are consumed with His will and love Him. And then the kind of relationships that you have in your life are real and peaceful. And you share with one another. And there's no bondage in those relationships. There's no gamesmanship. There's no playing. There's no manipulation. In the real ones, mind you. You know, and as time goes on, you can spot a fake. No, God gives you real people. Real ones. And what a blessing life is. But you know what? You've got to be real in order to receive that which is real. You've got to come to God with all of who you are. 100% all in. That's the only way. You can't do it 90%. You know, you can receive a measure, but you can't receive the fullness. God wants you to receive the fullness of His blessing. And the way that that comes is you put all of yourself in. 100% sold out to the truth. To the living God. You don't hold back anything. And when you live like that, you live in a place where God can now take you, use you, mold you, and He can make your life what it is that it was intended to be. You know, you don't have to live below God's plan and purpose for your life. You don't have to. You don't have to live at a substandard level. You don't have to live with questions and concerns. You don't have to live regretting what you've been doing. Because you know what? You can live in such a way that you can look back and enjoy your life again. Because you did it in connection with the Spirit of God. You can look back and you can see the hand of God upon your life. And you can see how He's been leading and directing each and every step of your life to where you are this day. You don't have to live in a state where you question. But rather you can live in a state where you know. And that knowing, that understanding, the peace of God that passes all understanding guards your hearts as you trust in Him. You know, with the Spirit of God, when He comes upon His people, He empowers you for the work at hand, for the task at hand, for the mission, for that which He would have you to speak, that which He would have you to do. God empowers you for that. You were not intended to live any other way. You were intended to live with power. You were intended to live with presence. The world was supposed to see in you the presence and the person of Christ Jesus. That's what they need to see when they see you. The way that that happens is you give your life over completely to Him. Let Him lead and direct the affairs of your life. Quit trying to figure out how to do it in this life and in this world. And just trust Him. Let Him direct you. Let Him direct the passion of your life, the pursuit of your life. Why not? Why not? Every time you've tried to do it for yourself, where's that gotten you? Yeah, I thought so. It's the same for everybody. Anybody that tries to do it apart from Him, they just get themselves into a place where they really aren't very happy with the outcome. Why? Because God quickens you. And God's put certain things in you that have to come out as directed by Him, as you would go forward into His purposes, into His plan, into that which He's called you to. Not what you would decide for yourself, but that which He would direct and lead and guide you into. Because that's the place of peace. That's the place of your gifts being poured out. See, here's the thing. All right, when you walk with God, you're marked for Him. In the realm of spirit, everything in the realm of spirit can see that you're marked for Him. Both those on the side of light and truth and the demonic and those on the side of darkness. Now those on the dark side, when they see you marked for God, they know that there is life and light and truth in you. And what they try to do is they try to put you into certain situations where they can drain the life off of you. And they can charge themselves off by draining the life out of you. Now, God did not intend for you to live like that. What God intended is that He would fill you to overflowing, and then He would direct you for you to then be poured out according to his purposes in the place that he intends for you to be poured out. So that your gifts, your talents, your abilities, empowered by the Spirit of God, would then be poured out and make a difference where God wants you to be. Not for you to be a battery for the world and to be selfishly used by them. No. God intended that you would be poured out where He would have you to be poured out, only to be refilled again, and poured out, and refilled, and poured out. A continuous overflowing process. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, as Jesus said. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come drink from me, and out of you will flow rivers of living water." That was intended to flow out of you. And to be poured out where God would have you to be poured out. That's God's intention for you. That's the place you were supposed to live. That's how you're supposed to conduct your life. Not to be used by the world, but rather to be poured out as God would intend for you to be poured out. Even Jesus, no one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord, and he took it back up again. You've been given that same right. You've been given that same power. You've been given that same ability. The Spirit of God is upon you, and He allows you to do the same thing. You have the right to choose. You don't have to be a battery for the world. And if you feel like you are, stop it. Make change. God gives you the power to put to death everything that keeps you from being what He intended you to be. That is Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. You will be a witness. You can put to death everything that keeps you from being the witness that God intends you to be. To in your home, in your life, in your community, in the place where you meet with other people, to the very ends of the earth, anywhere that God would send you, you are a witness of life and truth. And as being a witness of life and truth, you need to rise up. Rise up in the promises of God. Get into the Word. Realize in the Word that God has set forth things that are your inheritance. Walk in that inheritance. You know, recently we talked about this a little bit. We said, you know, it doesn't do you much good if you have $5 million in the bank or whatever currency you work with. If you have that money in the bank and you have a bank card that you could access it with, but you never use it. You go your entire life and you never use it and you never benefit from that which is yours. Likewise, all these promises are in the Word. All these things that are there for you as a child of God that are your inheritance, that were given to you with your redemption. When you became a child of God, by the blood of Jesus being applied on your life, by you having the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, which is the foundation of the Church of the Living God, with that came the promises of God into your life. With that came that, and you need to apply them. You need to apply the promises of God to your life. No longer existing in a substandard existence, but knowing that by faith you can walk in the things of God and you can be what God intended you to be. It is time for you to rise up into those. You need to read it. You need to allow the Spirit of God to quicken you with it. And you need to walk it out in a place of prayer and in a place of the Spirit of God quickening you to be that which God made you to be. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed and he shut down a nation for years. Just one man, but one man in step with the Spirit of the Living God. Likewise, do you realize you have that kind of power in you? I don't care if you're 12 years old and you're hearing this. If you realize the power of God that's in you and you started walking in that, you can affect all that takes place in the earth right now. Walk in I am. Be right here right now. The past is gone and the future, that's in God's hands. Right now, in this place, walk in I am and trust Him and know that He's in control. And with that, hey, you know, we love you guys. We just encourage you to keep on keeping on and to pursue that which God has for you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix, one word. You can find us there. And hey, we love you guys. And we look forward to there's so many amazing things coming up right now. And we'll be talking to you about those in the near future. Until then, hey, God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.